Father, thank you for the creative work that has gone into this morning's service and helping us to think through things up front, even before this Bible talk, what it is that is in this passage. So my prayer is that you'd help me to be faithful to this word and to take advantage of the careful work that's gone into place to help us think about these things. And I pray that all of us would leave with a healthy sense of how important your word is in the ears of everyone. I pray that we would live as people that understand the importance and the place of your word in people's lives. I pray it in your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, I wonder what you think will set the world on fire. I wonder what you think will bring change, like real and lasting change. How do you see that sort of change coming about? How do you think that you can bring in some meaningful, real and good change? And in fact, what are the great issues that stir you, that get you uptight and you want to see things changing? And how do you express your understanding of where you think that hope might lie? Every week on Facebook, I see people expressing where they think their hope lies. I see people reacting to situations and things that bother them. What bothers you? Maybe it's climate change. Maybe it's immigration. Maybe it's religious freedom. Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Prince Andrew and the Me Too movement. What is it that upsets you? Maybe you're upset because Harry and Meghan are leaving the royal scene. Maybe that gets to you. Maybe you're relieved that they've left. I don't know. Where is an answer? Where are the answers with lasting hope in the middle of the things that come on your horizon? How will that hope come about? Well, we read Mark 4, the parable of the sower, also called the parable of the soils, and you probably know where I'm going. The underlying message that comes through in this parable is that there is a change that's being worked out in the hearts of men. And it is the seeds for real, lasting change that is full of hope. This is where change comes from. This is where hope comes from. It comes from God's word. And it's God's kingdom that is coming into effect. As God's word goes out, it's actually God's kingdom that is being launched into the hearts of men. And Jesus taught his followers to pray for that. You know the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Calls us to pray for that kingdom change, that change that's going to be full of hope, that's going to bring lasting change and hope to the world. And Christians are longing for that to come into being. They're longing for that to be in its fullness. But the thing is, the way that kingdom hope comes isn't the way that people expect. It's not showy, it doesn't come by coercion and force. And usually when you look for change, people are looking for movers and shakers on the world scene. They're looking for things to happen that are more forceful. And so you've got China rattling swords in the South China Sea. And they're pushing for some sort of change there. So they're going to be the ones that own that. America and Iran are at it. And North Korea raises its head and wants to be seen on the world stage. And they're pushing and moving and shaking to try and be seen to make some change for themselves. But the way that Jesus lays the foundations for his government change, it's unlike anything else. And it's gentle and it's simple, and it goes in quite unawares. And yet it does the most amazing change. And it does it at the most profound and deep level in someone's lives. And deep down in a person that hears God's words and takes it in, there is this profound thing that happens that changes them. See, what's being described here in this parable is how God's word works. It brings the kingdom of God in. And that's a huge thing It's the thing that we're waiting for that will set the world on fire, change it completely. And there's so much about how important God's word is. In James 1:15, you can read these words: God chose to give us life through the word of truth. Life comes through God's word. And the reason scripture brings life is because it's God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. Hebrews 4 says that the word is living and active. It's not passive. It gets into someone's life. It's active, and things happen, and people are transformed, and God's kingdom comes into effect in that person's life. So what Jesus is talking about here goes deep. It's what happens when God's word goes to work in people's lives. And he doesn't tell people things directly. He does. He tells a story. But if you look at that story, it's a story about themselves listening to Jesus. And that puts them right in the moment. Now, I don't know. I'm curious to know if anyone's heard this term, breaking through the fourth wall. Does anyone know that expression? Good, it's not me. I thought I'd lived under a rock, but it's not just me. That's great. Apparently, breaking through the fourth wall is what happens when someone in a show or something brings the audience right into that. They address them directly. And so they're breaking through that fourth wall to speak directly to the audience. Now, I've got this picture up here from the very, very academic movie called Spaceballs. If you know that movie, there's this scene where they borrow the movie Spaceballs, the actual movie that you're watching, and they fast forward up to this very moment in time, and they look on the screen, and they're seeing themselves on the screen, and they say, when is this happening? Now! It's happening right now! They're right in the moment, seeing themselves in that moment on screen. And what I want to say is, that's exactly what Jesus is doing right here. He is breaking through the fourth wall, and he is speaking to a bunch of people, and he's telling them this story. And do you know what? They are in that story. Right there, the story is about a sower, Jesus, speaking God's word. Jesus telling a parable, telling words of the kingdom to different soils, the people. And if they thought about that story, and if they thought about what was going on, they would realize that they're right there in the middle of that story. It's a story about what's happening right now, right there, right in their midst. Jesus has broken through the fourth wall. And so this parable, it's all about hearing and listening. And that's really clear from the parable itself, but also from lots of other indicators. Jesus says straight after the parable in verse 9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is about hearing. It's a curious turn of phrase, because aren't they hearing? Isn't everybody hearing it there? But hearing isn't hearing. Apparently not everyone hears what Jesus has to say, hears it in the way that brings growth and life. So let me just say up front some of the things. I've already said some of them. The seed is God's word. Jesus says that explicitly in verse 11. What he doesn't say as clearly, but which is clear because of the context, is that Jesus is the sower. He's the farmer. And the different soils are the different people. Much of this parable is a little bit sad, because it talks about things that happen when people don't hear, don't take on board what God has to say. That's a bit sad. I find that a bit sad. There are three ways that people miss hearing his words. The first is the harshest. The seed on the path eaten by the birds. God's word's gone before it gets anywhere. Jesus says Satan comes along and takes it away. And that tells me straight away, there's an adversary. This is a battle. This is a struggle. And the devil isn't stupid. He knows how God's kingdom comes about, and he takes away the tools for the kingdom to come about. He takes that seed away. drives me to think about how important it is that people hear that word, that it gets down in their hearts. There is a battle, and the evil one is there taking away that word. Second way that God's word can be experienced by someone and not be taken on board is the rocky ground. Something happens. It does something. There's joy even, but it doesn't go deep. It seems to be an emotional response. There's joy and there's some sort of understanding, but Luke adds that the seed lacks moisture. There's something that doesn't go deep. Some people think that's dry doctrine, that they just haven't really taken on board the life of what's being said. I think it's when people look to God for something to fill their own need and answer their own personal quest, but where they haven't seen that it's primarily about God's kingdom. And when it's hard personally, when self isn't satisfied with the situations that come on them, they fall away. There's nothing beyond what they're in it for self. There's not the depth of taking God's word in deep. And that tells me that God's word isn't for entertaining at a distance. It's for taking in close, deep, really accepting it for what it is. Third seed is about falling among thorns. It grows, but other things take over from it. Some of those are bad things. Some of those things are things that they desire. So there are things that worry people, but there are also desires that take them away. There's a push in two different directions there. Tells me that there are things that can choke out the life of the word in a person's life. All of this tells me that there are quite the number of challenges to God's word going deep, bringing that life to someone. It's a torturous path. Finally, we have the seed that fell on good soil. And it raises the question in my mind, what makes it good? It's not good because of itself. It's not dirt is dirt. But it's good because it doesn't have any of those other challenges that get in the way. It's seed that goes down, lodges deep, produces a fruit, grows, has a real life to it, produces that fruit, goes far and wide. So hearing this parable and its explanation, what are you supposed to do with it? Well, the fourth wall has been broken. Jesus is speaking to the audience. He is talking to us directly through this parable. In other words, find yourself in that parable because everybody's there. You've got the whole spectrum of responses to God's word and everyone finds a place. Find your place in the story. Which soil are you? Where has God's word reached in your life? To what depth? What are the challenges that hold you back? What things choke out the life? How deeply has it come into your life? And if you're not sure, can I ask you to pray long and hard about that? There is a promise in Scripture that if you seek God, if you seek Him with all your heart, He will be found by you. That's a really good promise. Bank on that. Seek Him with all of your heart. Next term, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and there's this passage that says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." It's not ask for the latest Ferrari. I know that you'd love to do that probably, but it's talking about the kingdom. Seek God out. Ask Him and He will be found. He will give you what you are looking for. For Christians, this passage tells me something about where lasting change comes from. It really grounds me. It really reminds me of where true and lasting change comes from. It comes from the Word. And it's so easy to get distracted from that, isn't it? It's so easy to get far away from that. This brings me back to how God's kingdom comes into effect. It reminds me, God's word, up front. And so that's why activities like this morning are great, because they get us thinking early. They get us focused on the word. That's a terrific thing to have that there. Makes my job easier too when we come to speaking about this parable. Lee's one more question. What about people that don't respond to it? What are we supposed to make of things when people don't respond to the word? Have we failed? As Christians, have we failed when that happens? We want people to hear. We want lots of people to hear God's word. It's the thing that will bring change. But Jesus has some more words to say here about the kingdom and how it comes. In verses 11 and 12, he says, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." This is a harder thing to tackle, isn't it? You see, he seems to be saying that God's word brings life, but it also brings judgment to those who reject it. That's a bit of a harder thing to take on board, isn't it? But it's the truth that comes through here. Does my head in a bit, but God's sovereignty and people's responsibility are both here at the same time. People are responsible for their response to Jesus, but God is also sovereignly in charge of what's happening. What do we do with that? Well, it forms a healthy understanding of what happens when God's word goes out. When we speak God's word, but we don't always see the response that we want, be encouraged, the same thing happened with Jesus. In Isaiah 55, we're told that God's word, which goes from his mouth, will not return empty, but it will accomplish what it was purposed for. Sometimes that's salvation, and sometimes that's judgment. That's a hard truth, but it's there in God's word. But here's something else that I think is true. And we talked a little bit about this in our group this morning, and I think there was a little bit of a difference of opinion. In God's providence, you can see some smiles. In God's providence, I believe it is possible for someone to be one soil at one moment and to be good soil later on. I'm reminded my training minister, Andrew Clawson, he was at Ashfield Presbyterian as a student minister, and he tells the story about this elderly chap who's been there for years. He's heard the gospel preached a gazillion times. And then one Sunday, mid-service, he just jumps up mid-service and says, "I get it. We're saved by grace." And he's heard it about a gazillion times. But in that minute, God's gone to work in his life. That seed that's been planted deep, it has gone deep. And God chose to give that man life through the word of truth. James 1:15. So when God's word goes out, we can expect to see the multitude of responses. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged to keep faithfully putting that word out. Sometimes it's received deeply and produces a harvest of fruit in someone's life. Gee, we pray for that. We want to see that, don't we? We want to see that life. It produces a harvest of fruit that is other people coming into the kingdom. Sometimes it just gets choked by other things that take up a person's life. A bad response isn't necessarily an incomplete result. That might, sadly, just be the result it achieves. Our job is to be faithful. God's job is to bring the growth and the life. Life doesn't come from the speaker. It doesn't come from how we, our techniques or anything like that. It's God's job to bring that life. And we pray to him and we trust him to do that job. Let's pray to him right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder from this parable about how powerful your word is. It looks so weak and vulnerable, unimpressive, but these words about a king who dies and who rises to life, about a God who becomes human, takes takes on human form. Father, it sounds so unimpressive to many people. It sounds like foolishness. But Father, that foolishness is your power, the power of God to bring salvation. And we thank you for what a powerful thing it is. We thank you that when it's lodged down deep in someone's life, it can bring such a tremendous transformation and a harvest of fruit through them to many others. And Father, I pray that in your goodness, in this church, we would see that fruit of your word going out, being received, and turning more and more people to know you. I pray that your kingdom would grow through this church. Pray that you would keep us faithful to how important to knowing how important your word is. And I pray that that would translate in all that we do and say. All these things I pray in your name. Amen.